topic that I'm going to give, we have been studying on Christian love. I'm going to put a pause on that. It's a series we go on Christian love. But I'm going to give a topical subject today, and that's going to be still and know that I am God. Where do you find that scripture? Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. Now, before I get into this, just want to, you know, make your minds focus what we are going to say here. We are living in a society as like a rat race. In the morning you wake up until you go to bed, it is hectic. It's terrific. It's a fast-paced life that we live. Everything is computerized. Everything is instant. Even the breakfast is instant. We want something quick. And we go according to time. Everybody, look everywhere in your home. You have a time. Why do we need time? Because we are creatures that are created according to time. In heaven, there is no time because it's eternal. Here, we got time because our life is limited. We are going to die one day. From A to Z, that's it. After that, there's no more. We are going to die. It's the limited life, so there is time. So we live a small period of time, and during that period, especially today, we are living in a hectic race. I guess everybody agrees to that. Now, if you read Psalm 46, let's keep in that, and let's read Psalm 46. Psalm 46 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and the trouble, though the mountains shake with swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms are moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the work of the Lord who has made desolations of the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns a chariot in the fire. Then he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This psalm is called the Song of the Church. We see in this psalm, what do we see here? Great tensions. In this psalm, we see absolutely terrible events happening. And we see great calamity in this psalm. And we see nations at war in this psalm. We see great distress. We see non-Christians in this psalm, the nations, they are raged and they are shocked, they are trembling. Just imagine. Even the earth is bemoaned, the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea. And here we see there is war. And the unbelievers are raged. There's extreme calamities. In verse 2 and 3, it says, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and through the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and the trouble and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. These are even the mightiest men can become weak. It shows how weak we are when we see a natural calamity, earthquakes, fire, floods, war, terrorists. However, your intelligence, your wealth cannot save yourself in this time of trouble. However, the Christian can say, our God, my God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Only the Christian can say that. The others will freak out. But the Christian can find refuge in God in the midst of calamity. Our God is a shelter. He is a protection from great danger. He is our stronghold. He is a rock. He is our refuge. He is our shield. He hides us under His wings. He is our shelter. He is our strength. And He is our protector. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the God who created the earth. He is the God who created the universe. Verse 6 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of the dawn. I'm sorry, verse 6. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. Wow. Servant, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations of the earth. He makes wars, sees to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And here we see the heathens, the unbelievers. They are in rage. The word rage here in Hebrew is hema or hama. It means, it literally means that they are making a great loud noise. They are going crazy. They are screaming. They are shouting. They are troubled. They are mourning of calamity and distress. Well, how about your life? When things doesn't happen your way, when things started to fall apart, do you scream? Do you shout? Do you mourn? That's what the unbelievers are doing here. In the midst of calamity, they are raging, they are shouting, they are screaming. And they are troubled because the great nations have fallen. The earth is falling apart. How about you, surrounding? If things fall apart around you sometimes? God is showing His power here by breaking and destroying the kingdoms of this earth. In the midst of this great destruction, when the people are going crazy and they're screaming and mourning, remember what happened on September 11th, the terrorist attack. The whole nation was in despair. They're crying and mourning, shouting. God is telling the church in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. In the midst of all of what's happening around calamity and trouble and distress, God is telling the heathens are raging, screaming and shouting. God is telling the church, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Remember, when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, from the bondage of the Egyptians with miraculous power, how God even opened the Red Sea, but they saw all the miracles of God. They saw the power of God. Even the Red Sea was open. They were amazed how they were delivered from the Egyptians. But when they went into the wilderness, things kind of settled down. God tested their hearts. And what did they do? They grumbled. They complained against God. all the leeks and the tomatoes and the cucumbers and all the good food we ate. And here we are in the wilderness, and they grumble, they complain. What if God told Moses, they're not complaining against you, they're complaining against me. When things doesn't go according to your will and your power, when things turn against you, everything seems to be going crazy. And there is somebody, things are going kind of wild around you. Then, you know, maybe you lose a job. Someone gets into a terrible accident. And someone gets sick. And you hear a phone call from somebody saying there's a car accident. One of your closest relatives or your children or somebody. And death of a loved one. All these things happen at once. Then what happens? How is your outward behavior going to be? God is telling you, be still and know that I am God. Or are you going to scream and shout just like the heathen and go crazy and wild? Are you going to complain and murmur? Or are you going to say, well, let me analyze what happened. It's your fault. Or look at the closest person next to you, or husband, or wife, or children. It's you did this. If you didn't do this, it will not happen. Or you will try to find faults, then fight and murmur and complain. Tell you, many do. Many do. So when you complain and murmur because things does not work your way, things does not go your way, and when everything is falling apart in your life, you're really coming against God's sovereign providence. Just like the children of Israel. These are wrong. They're coming against the sovereign providence of God. Even today, you know, it was raining, isn't it? Wasn't it raining? And some people say, oh, raining, yucky, what a day. Well, who is in control? Who is the king of the universe? Who is governing the universe? Who is governing the world? Who brings the rain? You're really telling God, what kind of weather are you giving us? Is that right? You're coming against God. Even the weather. How many even Christians say, what a lousy weather. We read the Psalms that God creates everything. Even a hair cannot fall to the ground without His knowledge. But how many are complaining? Even the little things like that. So when things doesn't happen your way, you're really opposing God's dispensation of providence. Because everything God created us and God made things in a way that is going to happen that way no matter what. But God is saying here, but still, be still and know that I am God. What do you mean by be still? You know what he means by be still? Literally what he's saying is shut up. That's what he's saying. That's what it says in Hebrew, shut up. Shut your mouth and know that I am God. The Hebrew word is literally, it says, shut up, be quiet, chill out. That's what he's saying. Or, in another way, just sink. Sink into the hands of God when everything is happening. Just sink into Him. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Stop shouting and screaming. Be calm. Be still. Just humbly submit to His will. Even though you don't understand what's going on. You know, most of the problems that is going on, this is a survey that has been done. A lot of people have all these problems and everything. They are worrying about these problems. They are going crazy. They are shouting and screaming. And those things doesn't happen in the future anyway, most of them. And later you say, oh, you know. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is God. He is absolutely, infinitely perfect. God is not taken by surprise what's going to happen or what is happening. Nothing can happen without His knowledge, because He is God. Our hairs are numbered. A sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God's knowledge. The works of God and His power is infinite. He is the governor of the universe. He's not the governor of California. He's the governor of the universe. If He's the governor of the universe, He governs this earth. Imagine, even if we are 1 degree closer to the sun, we will be all burned. If we are 1 degree away from the sun, we'll be all frozen. How God, this whole universe is governed by God. He sets the earth in a particular place. There's winter, there's summer, and it rotates, you know, how the earth goes around. And it's amazing. His creation. He's God. A lot of people who discovered that the earth was round, like a circle. Was it Columbus? Who was it? Huh? Okay. Anyway, it took people a long time to realize that the earth was round. People thought it was flat. But if they read the Bible in Isaiah 40, verse 22, Isaiah 40, 22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. There you go. Earth is round. It's a circle. And the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God's wisdom is infinite. It is awesome. He knows what He is doing. Even things doesn't go our way, things fall apart around us, it doesn't mean that God has gone to sleep. It doesn't mean that God has taken a break. Now He has to come back and fix things. No. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't take breaks. He is the eternal God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Paul is talking about the wisdom of God. Romans 11, 33 says, Paul says, oh, he starts with, oh, it means I can imagine amazingly, you know, it's an exclamation. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's something that we can understand. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. For who knows the mind of the Lord? The answer is negative. Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So comparing His wisdom to our wisdom, we are limited beings. We are like grasshoppers, the dust of the earth. A lot of times we behave in much pride, as we know everything. But God doesn't. We try to help God a lot of ways. God doesn't need your help. We need of God. We live in pride, we behave in pride until we see how magnificent He is, until we see how powerful He is. When we see how powerful He is, how infinitely great He is, that's the time we will humble ourselves. That's the time we will submit to Him. Remember, even Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 to 5, all the way through, you will see Isaiah talking, "Woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you." But Isaiah, when he saw God Almighty in chapter 6, he said, "Woe unto me." Peter, when he saw Jesus, how people couldn't catch fish, you know, and Jesus went, that was Peter and the disciples, they tried very hard to catch fish, they couldn't. And then Jesus went, he caught fish miraculously. Then Jesus told Peter, "Follow me." Peter said, "Oh, I can't follow you. I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy." We got to see who God is. When we see who God is, then our pride will fall apart. In Psalm chapter 131, verse 1 says, Psalm 131:1, "My heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." And here we see how great He is, and we see that things are so high for me. I don't understand His wisdom. I don't understand when things doesn't happen my way, when things fall apart. I don't understand. It's too high for me. Psalm 147:4. God, if you remember, God told Abraham, "Go and count the stars in the sky. Your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky." Abraham went. Of course, those days there was no pollution like today. You can see the stars very clearly. Couldn't count. You can't count the stars. The scientists today, they don't know. Every year, a new star they find. Every year. But here, Psalm 147:4 says, "He telleth the number of the stars, and He called them by their names." Imagine who God is. God tells how many stars are there, exactly how many numbers, and He calls them by name. Every little star. Then He says, verse 5, "Great is our Lord, and great and of great power." His understanding is what? Infinite. Remember, God is the owner of the earth. Gotta remember that. He owns this earth. We are dependents of God. We depend on our God. Even our next breath, we depend on Him. We cannot take our next breath without God, because He can take that breath away anytime He wants to. God's children will submit to His providential power and subject to His will. We cannot say, "What are you doing? What's happening?" Now let us see an application of this one. How can this lesson be beneficial for me? If you look at the psalm here, there's nothing but terrible disaster that is happening with calamity. In the midst, you see a river flowing. You see a river flowing in the midst of calamity. Verse 4. "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And God in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. Wow! There's a river flowing in the midst of all this calamity. There's a river flowing and God is going to help her. What is this river? If you remember, if you turn with me to John chapter 7 verse 38, Jesus said, verse 37, he said, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out and saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Wow! You can see all the things, what is happening around you. People are going crazy. They are going wild. But the church, you can say, God is my refuge because of there's a river in my heart. The rivers flowing out of my belly. Rivers of living water. Jesus is a living water. If you drink of Him, if you thirst of Him, if you're in the Word of God, the waters of life, if you trust in His Word, even so many things can happen around you. You can trust in God. He'll take care of you. Sometimes He will not. He may not. Sometimes things may get even worse. But still, He's God. Whatever happens, He's doing for His glory. Remember, Abraham was told to leave his country and go to a land where he has never been before. Abraham, he didn't have a car. He didn't have the Thomas guide, right? What did he have? He didn't have the weatherman to look in the TV. But he trusted in God's guidance, that's it. And people ask Abraham, where are you going? Huh? And here, the heathens, they have their homes and everything, and here you find a man going place to place. If somebody asks Abraham, oh, how is your future? Well, how is things are going to be with you, you know? I'm just trusting in God. It's God's providence. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. Remember Joseph. And if God can tell Abraham when things are not going right, he doesn't know where he's going. But God tells in his still voice, be still and know that I'm God. Remember Joseph? He was sold by his brothers to a foreign country. When he's in a foreign country, he's in Egypt. He missed his mom. He missed his dad. He didn't know anybody. They're all strangers. And things didn't become better. It became worse. Right? But did he complain? And say, God, I can't handle this. What is going on? Did he scream, shout, murmur, complain? No. If he did, he is coming against God's providence. Right? But Joseph knew how to say, be still and know that I am God. I am in control. Who is in control of your life? Who is ruling your life? Is it you? Is it you trying to take over flesh, you know? I want this my way. If it doesn't happen my way, what? The wrath of God is, the wrath of me is going to happen to this house? Daniel was given to the hungry lions to be eaten alive. And there was, Daniel was able to say, be still and know that I am God. God is in control. Remember the three Hebrew kids? When they were put into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar gave the order that they were put into the fire to be burned alive. And they said, well, our God can deliver us, and if he doesn't. And Moses, you know, he was wondering what's going on. And God said, just take that stick. And go, be still and know that I'm God. Remember Gideon. the Midianites were coming into war, and the Midianites have their armies like the dust of the earth. You cannot even count. Israelites had 32,000 people. God says, that's too many. Take away 20,000. Then there was only 12,000 left. Midian thought, 12,000? And these Midianites, they are huge, big. They're like the giants. At the end, God said, that's too many also. And God shrinked that army to 300 people, that's all. And those 300 were able to go and wipe out the Midianites because God was with them. Against the odds, be still and know that I am God, that God is in control. When David came against Goliath, nobody could ever think that he would be able to wipe out Goliath. He's a little kid. And people thought, how can this be? But David said, I'm coming against you. Because you have come against God. Because David knew that be still and know that God is in control. Do you have any Goliaths in your life? Things are happening that you don't understand. God is telling you, be still and know that I am God. Remember Jesus in the boat, when they were going in the boat, he was fast asleep. There was a storm that came, and the disciples were really, they were screaming and shouting, and what's going on? We are going to die. And they saw Jesus fast asleep, and they woke up Jesus and said, we are going to die. What did Jesus say? Be still. And the wind ceased, because God is in control. Paul and Silas, they were whipped because they preached the gospel. They were put in a dungeon. But still, they trusted in God, because be still and know that I am God. What about your daily life when you're confronted by obstacles? How do you react? Who is in control of your life? Well, Jesus' first sermon is what? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Are you in the kingdom of God? In a kingdom, there is a king. The king rules, not you. So if you are in the kingdom of heaven, then Jesus rules in your life. And if you are not, then if you say, oh yeah, he's the ruler, but you're the one who really rules when things come, it doesn't match what you're talking. Remember Job. He was called a righteous man. Yet, God's sovereign providence was there. And Job went through severe hardships, if you remember. He was a wealthy man. And first he heard that his children were killed. Then somebody else came and said, all his wealth are gone. Then everything was destroyed. Then what happened? He got boils from head to foot. Wow, you talk about calamity. You talk about distress. Job. Now what did Job do to get all these things? Absolutely nothing. He didn't sin against God in a sense that he didn't. The Bible says he was a righteous man. But why did God do this to Job? What happened? Sometimes it happens. It's God's sovereign power. He allows that to happen. You don't understand. So, what even his wife told, curse God and die. Remember, the heathens are raging here. They are screaming. But Job did not. He submit all these difficult things to the will of God. Then at the end, God spoke to Job. When God spoke to Job, because he couldn't understand why these things happened, did God explain to Job why it happened? Did he? Of course not. He doesn't have to explain anything. But God did explain to Job of his sovereign power. If you turn with me to Job chapter 38, God did explain to him his sovereign power. From verse 3, God told Job, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer." God asked Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Answer me. Tell me if you have understanding. You have knowledge. Tell me. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" And here God is asking this question. To what were its foundations fastened on the earth? You know. Who laid the cornerstone? Verse 8. "Or who shut the sea with the doors when it burst out with issues from its womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set my bars and doors?" You know. Then he goes, "When I said, 'This far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn know its place? That it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it. It takes from like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment from the wicked. Their light is withheld and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the dead? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the doors of the shadows of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know this. Answer like a man. Where is the way to the dwelling of the light and darkness? Where is its place? That you may take of its territory, that you may know the path to its home. Do you know because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle at war?" And here, God keep questioning Job. Verse 31, let's go to verse 31. "Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring the Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth?" Here, God is showing his sovereign power to Job. Why this thing happened to Job? Job couldn't understand. The only explanation is he is sovereign God. I am powerful. You cannot understand what I did before your time. God is great. He is the awesome God. He is a powerful God. Now, what is the inner strength that we can have to come against the problems, the difficulties, hardship, when things are falling apart? God is telling us, shut up. That's what he's saying. Shut up. Be still and know that I am God. Because I'll tell you, there's a river flowing in the middle of this. That river that is flowing is the water. That's the word of God. Water always symbolizes to the word of God. It's the living water. This word can bring life to you. It can bring true life into your heart. The inner strength of the Christian is strong in the midst of calamity. In Psalm chapter 1 verse 2, Psalm 1:2 says, think about, start with 1:1. "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of God." That is the word of God. And in his law, that means in God's law, he meditates day and night. Now this is a true Christian. He shall be what? Like a tree planted where? By the rivers of water. See that? You'll be planted here in the Word of God. You will be meditating on the Word of God. This is a seed that is implanted in our hearts. Then it says here, that brings forth its fruits in its season, and there will be fruits coming out. You know, before you get really angry, mad, you scream at people. Now, you have patience. Now, you don't get mad. Why? The waters of life. You have an abundant life Christ has given us. But some of you still are the same. There's no change. What's going on? If I ask you, are you really reading the Word of God? Are you really getting into it and meditating and studying? No. That's the answer. No. So, don't tell me that. How come? It's very easy. Then verse 3 says that he shall be like a tree planted in rivers of water that bring forth its fruits in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. He doesn't mean that all the wealth and the honor. He's talking spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity. Hey. That's the lesson. Remember, things are not going to get better. Some things may get even worse. If things get worse, where is your heart? Is your heart heavenly minded? Are your thoughts heavenly minded? You're a citizen. Where is your citizenship? On this earth? If your citizenship is on this earth, you'll be always thinking about earthly things, right? If you're always thinking about earthly things, you'll be meditating upon earthly things. You'll be thinking about your house, you know, how to do this, that, and you'll be working and all those things, house things, and your car, and, you know, and maybe your new toys, and, you know, all the material things. Because your mind is there. You'll be thinking about that. You'll be contemplating about it. Then Sundays you come to church and say, oh, praise the Lord. Give a hug. Read the Bible. Then you say, bye, God, and go. Next Sunday you come again and like punching your time clock. Here, God, I'm here. Then things happen. Doesn't happen your way, you know, according to your way. Then you scream, you shout, you rage. You know, what's happening? And you infect other people too around you. And they get this in you, you know. And everybody is, it's like a disease. Everybody is infected because of somebody revolving around, you know, everybody's around you. You're screaming and shouting. Then God comes and gives you a good punch or a slap and say, shut up! Then you say, oh, I needed that. I really needed it. Holy, get up. All right, you know. That's what he's saying. So we need to submit to his will, to his sovereign power. God is in control, remember. The psalm we read in Psalm 139. He knows everything. You are created. He knows all your thoughts, all your ways are before him. How pleasant it is for us to submit to his will. God loves that. He loves it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for exposing this passage of scripture, Lord. And we really need it. We need to hear that. Because a lot of times, when things doesn't happen our way, our flesh takes control. And we forget the word of God. And the first thing is we start talking, shouting, screaming, and everybody is going, wow, what's going on? Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would heal our sins, Lord. That we have sinned against you. Against your providential care. Even you said, look at the birds. even they are fed by God. They have a home. They are being fed by God. Even the animals, they have food to eat. God feed them. And here we are, Lord, in this corrupt nation, that we have so much food, we don't even appreciate what you have given us. Still we grumble and we complain and say, well, I don't like this food, I want that food. And people around the other parts of the world who are going in hunger, they don't have even the basic necessities that we have. So Father, we pray, Lord, we come to you and ask, Lord, that you would heal us. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our ignorance in the Word of God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would give us a thirst and a hunger to study your Word and to meditate and to live in that rivers of water, that we will be changed by the fruits that we will bear. That people around us will know that we are different. That we are like Daniel. That we are like Joseph. That we are like Jesus. Father, we pray and ask now that the message that was taught today, that would dwell in our hearts, Lord, that we will not forget. And we will understand. No matter what happens, that we will understand. Be still and know that I am God, that we will be still, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.